connected with our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't think of the cross separately, and you don't think of the Lord Jesus separately. In fact, every time you think of the cross, you should be thinking about Jesus Christ. And every time you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be thinking about the cross. In fact, when the church adopted the cross as its central picture, in the old days, any time you drew a picture of a church building, though the church is not a building, the church is people who belong to Jesus. It's people, not a building. But when a picture of a church building was drawn, what was very key to that picture? The cross. And it became a decoration piece, the cross. And we have all kinds of crosses. And we have innovative ideas about how to make a cross. And we also have people doing the sign of the cross, you know. And it doesn't really take us back to Jesus necessarily. I also want to point out something. You know, when we see the full form of Jesus' name in the Bible, we never see the name, the full form of the name of Jesus as Savior Jesus Christ. We see the full form as Lord Jesus Christ. The word Jesus includes the meaning Savior. But when you think of Jesus' name in its full form, the word Lord is there in His name. So whenever we say Lord Jesus Christ or Lord Jesus, we have to understand that He is both God, divine, the only true God. He is also master, in charge of my life. So you cannot call Him Lord and mean it. Or you can say Lord Jesus and not mean it. Or you can. But you can't really mean it without really grasping the fact that He is both God, and if He is God, He must be worshipped, and He is also Master. And if He is Master, He has to be obeyed. In fact, even worship includes obedience. Because worship, if it is real worship, has to be surrender. Surrender. I am given over to the person I worship. The cross and the Lord Jesus are very much connected. And in the early days, when you saw the cross, you shunned it. You didn't love the cross. Because the cross was a very, very bad place. It was the place where men, maybe women, who were criminals, who were evil people, murderers, bad people, were crucified. And the people who used crucifixion in the old days, Rome adopted the crucifixion method of killing criminals from others before them. They had mastered the art of killing people with torture. And on the cross, when someone was hanged on the cross, he didn't die quickly. He didn't die in 3 hours. It took a long time with excruciating pain for a criminal to die if he was executed on a cross. That's why Remember, they came to break the legs of Jesus and the two criminals who were hanging by his side. And they broke the criminals' legs. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he had already died. And yesterday I took you through scripture, Matthew chapter 26, which showed that he knew he was going to die. And he surrendered his life in death to the Father. So glorying in the cross is really glorying in the Lord, God, Master, Jesus Christ. I hope you have pens or pencils. Do you have it? I hope you have paper, because we're going to do something during this sermon and worship service. So keep it ready. Twice you will have to use those implements. But Paul, inspired by the Spirit, and also this unknown writer of the epistle called the Hebrews in the Bible, had this to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, and he said, when I came to Corinth, I'm paraphrasing it, I did not come to you with the ability of a great preacher, public speaker, with style of words, or even of philosophy. He's not saying, when he says, I did not have excellency of speech or wisdom, he's not saying that I was stupid. Oh, he spoke some very, very wise things. But he's saying, I was not like you expected me to be in Corinth. Because Corinth was full of philosophers and wise people, wise in the world, you know, MAs, PhDs, BDs, whatever. You know, you all go and work somewhere. Even our DCC boys and girls. And you learn how to work and how to relate in the corporate world, right? And you learn a lot of ways of talking and sales talk and management styles and, you know, how to have teamwork and all that stuff. And Corinth had that and much more. And Paul says, I was not like one of those clever people. I came to you with the testimony of God. Do you see those words? And testimony, everyone knows, because this morning we heard a testimony. Testimony is speaking about yourself and what has happened to you. God's testimony Paul brought to Corinth, and he's saying, God says something about himself, and that's what I wanted to communicate to you, Corinthians. And in doing that, the words in red are, I determined, I fixed my mind, I made sure, I made absolutely this commitment, not to think of anything else, and not to communicate anything else, and not to have any words of human wisdom. I didn't try to convince you with manipulative great thoughts. I just had only one thing that I wanted to know, and you to know from me, and that is Jesus and the crucified Jesus. You know what Paul was saying is, everything I preached that saved you, Corinthians, that is of any use to you, of any value to you, is just that one thing, Jesus and Him crucified. If you got that, you got everything I have said. Jesus died on the cross. So you have to ask, why did he die? He died for my sins. If he died for my sins, then I'm a sinner. There are implications. There's simple common sense. If Paul is only going to talk about Jesus and his death, his cross, him crucified, it's all about why? Why did Jesus have to die? Who's Jesus? Was he a criminal? No, he's God. He's perfect. He's sinless. He came in human form. He died for me. I'm a sinner. And that was his whole life work when he was on earth, this Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, this unknown writer, he has two things to say. He says Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. And see this verse that remains on the screen. For the suffering of death. He didn't stay as the powerful God, invisible and glorious. He left that. He came to earth in human weakness, human flesh, as a human being. For one purpose. For the suffering of death. He came to die. You know, Christmas is almost here, right? The season of Christmas. And it's not about Santa Claus and the Christmas tree and jingle bells dashing through the snow. It was about remembering that Jesus was born not to be a cute baby. Oh, how cute. No. He was the King born to die. And even when the Magi came from the east, they gave him gold, symbolic of his being God, frankincense, worship of God, and myrrh that would be used for his burial. But this unknown writer to the book of Hebrews, he says he suffered death, but he was crowned with glory and honor. Do you get it? The death of Jesus crowns him by the Father with glory and honor. Death and glory of the Lord Jesus. So connected. But he had this verse and we looked at it yesterday. And this is the verse from where we got our theme, right? The glory of the cross. Where the Apostle Paul says, and remember everything that was preached yesterday evening by Stephen Williams. God forbid. Oh, he's saying, God stop me speaking. God stop me. Totally. God don't allow me. That's what God forbid means. Don't allow me that I should glory. And here the word glory is not just saying boast. It's saying that I should worship and praise anything else. That I should count anything more valuable than what? Except, save means accept the cross. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world is crucified to me. You know, when Paul writes that, he's saying, God stopped me from valuing anything more than the cross. And even that actually was ably clarified for us. We shouldn't even say more than the cross. We should say, there's nothing else. Only the cross of our Lord Jesus. Got it? Remember the message last evening? Only the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what happens when I really have only a value for the cross of Jesus Christ, where He died for my sins and He delivered me from my sins and He saved me from my sins, then you know what happens? I get crucified to the world and the world gets crucified to me. So I want you to remember the verse has the words, the glory in the cross. But, see the connections. Again, as it was pointed out yesterday, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a symbol. It's a person. Without Jesus, the cross has no value. Many died on crosses, but only Jesus died for me to free me from my sin. What else? Glory in the cross is connected to being crucified to the world. Remember that connection? What are you going to take back with you from this camp? Not for the whole year, but as a once for all experience, that experience will live on with you till you get to heaven. And even in heaven, you will glory in what? Hello? The cross. If you look at the scenes of heaven in Revelation, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and power. They sing in heaven of the Lamb that was slain. So the first point, you know, in that passage, and we saw it yesterday, Galatians 6, 12 and 13, look at it again, is what? You talked about it, Santosh mentioned it at the campfire about circumcision. And, you know. But you see, in the red I marked what was emphasized yesterday evening, there is a reason why circumcision became important. And not only were they boasting in their circumcision, these Judaizers, they were boasting about getting others circumcised so that they could show off about, you know, I got one more convert or whatever. Let's not miss this, that they were doing it so that they would not be persecuted for what? Okay, so what's the point? Avoiding persecution. What are you going to take back with you? What are you going to take back with you? Our DCC kids, our DCC young men and women, our DCC senior citizens, our DCC families, you, each one, what are you going to take back? Persecuted. There it is. You've got to do something at this point. Take a blank page. Take your pen. And think of some of the things you fear or are embarrassed about. All of you, come on. Don't stare at me, Sachin. Lalit. Write down. I want you to write down. Joel, Daniel, everybody. Billu. Everybody, write down. You know, in your school, in your college, in your place of work, in your house, in your home, in your family, what other things that make you nervous, embarrass you, so that you, I better not say I'm a Christian, I better not talk about the cross, I don't want to be born again. What keeps you from Christ? Put it down. Don't show anybody. This is something I'm not going to collect, I'm not going to ask you to share. But it'll help you to think about your own life. What do you fear? What embarrasses you? What makes you keep quiet? What turns you off? What puts you off? You don't have to discuss with anybody. You write down. Come on. Aniket, come on, write that. Write down and think about what keeps you from Christ and glorying in the cross of Christ. When you're on your own, in your group of friends, what keeps you? Why don't you want to get baptized and tell everybody, I belong to Jesus Christ? And if you are baptized, then you still get a little afraid, nervous. What will happen? What are those things? Put it down. What keeps you from being fully open about Jesus, really loving Him, really belonging to Him? Many of us have already surrendered to Jesus, but we still have some fears, right? What is it? God forbid that I should glory except in one thing. And the cross of Jesus Christ is not one more thing. It's not the main thing. It's not more than other things. It is the only value of my life. I worship, I value, I embrace the cross of Jesus. Adoring the cross. First was avoiding the cross because of persecution, adoring the cross. In that same passage, and we've gone through that passage yesterday evening, so I'm not dealing with it in any detail. I'm saying, what are you going to take back with you? May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The connection is, if I really embrace the cross, if I adore the cross, if I value the cross, then the world dies to me. And I die to the world. How many of you fall in love with a dead body? And spend your time in a cemetery and say, you know, I'm so infatuated with this dead body that is buried here. There's no attraction. The world is dead to me. And you know what the other side of the coin is? In this verse, and I am dead to the world. You know, when the world looks at me, and the worldly things look at me, the world doesn't get attractive to me. The world doesn't find me good enough. You got it? This is amazing that if I go and mix with worldly people, they don't find me attractive. And when I go and mix with the world, I don't find the world attractive. That's the implication of glorying in the cross. You got it? And it is a choice the Apostle Paul makes. And he tells not God, he's not praying. I hope you can see this is not a prayer. This is a choice that he is speaking of. This is his testimony. He's saying, God forbid. I have decided that I cannot any longer be attracted to the world, and the world can't like me. We're both uncomfortable with each other. You got it? I stink because I'm a corpse. When I go to the world, I stink. I'm a corpse. When the world comes to me, the world stinks. The world is a corpse. What matters? What matters? Verse 15. Hey, Tabasum, where are you? A new creation. It changes me. This choice changes me. I'm a new person. I'm in the world, but not of the world. How difficult it is. How do we respond to this? First Peter 1:8. You know, when I glory in Jesus, because He is so intrinsically interwoven with the cross where He died, I haven't seen Him, but I love Him. Peter is saying that to the people he's writing to. You love Him. In whom, though you see Him not now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, there is something that is glorious and joyful, which I am so enraptured with about Jesus. He fills my soul. He fills my thoughts. He fills my emotions. He thrills my soul. But there's 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17, where I am told in the Bible, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love the world. I'm crucified to the world. And yet I live in the world. And you know what happens? It becomes a tough life. Because the world is too much there, right? How can I shut my eyes and gorge my eyes out, or my appetites and my senses, when I see things that are so glamorous and so enticing and so wonderful? And I have the money, right? L'Oreal is there, and Raymond Man, you know, and the Perfect Man, and the iPod, and it's i7, and what else? Smartphones, so many apps. It's all there. That's all part of my existence. I move with that. Which car to buy, which scooter, which kind of bike, I'm saving up. What am I working for? Except to enjoy it, huh? So let's have fun. Chill out, right? So how do I apply it? What am I going to take back with me? And God knows, you know, because God is so sensible, so caring. He says, hey, you know, while you might have made that choice, like the Apostle Paul, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells John, hey, let me inspire you, John, to write to these believers that they have to continuously check their affections. Don't love the world. Don't love the world. Don't love the world. Or the things that are in the world. You know, I could have given you another assignment this morning and say, write down the things of the world. What are the things of the world? And you have to get very practical, right? Anything that is in the world is a thing of the world, right? And it can be used for the glory of God, or it can be used to give you pleasure. If any man love the world, God's love, the Father's love, the love of the Father is not in you. See, it's so simple. To be able to say no to the world, not to love the world, what should I have in my heart? The Father's love. Do I know the Father's love? This is not my love for the Father. It is the Father's love for me. And that's an amazing thing. How much does God love me? Have you ever thought of that? Ask yourself, okay, let me give you a moment. Let's be silent. Ask yourself the question. How much does God love me? Does Jesus really love me? How much do you love me, Father? Do you really love me, Father? Did Jesus really die for me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? I want to know your love. That's part of the secret. If the Father's love is in me, what will happen? I'll be so focused in enjoying His love. God is with me. You know the name during Christmas of Jesus that we remember so often? Emmanuel. God with us. Is He really? Always? Or we say He's omnipresent. Really? The love of the Father is in me. And I face the world. And it shines. But you know what's shining me more? Shining. saying, I am what? Special. I'm special. Don't hurt me. Hey, you know, I learned when I was young something that I live with. It doesn't give me total victory, but it helps me. I know that I am very self-centered and have pride every time I get hurt. Even if you are wrong and I'm right, even in that situation when I get hurt, I'm conscious of what? That I have pride. Because I got hurt. My feelings got hurt. Are you getting it? The pride of life. You need help. Pride of life. That's not of the Father. What is of the Father? In this verse, in this text, what is of the Father? The love of the Father. And that love of the Father can be experiential in me. Does the Father love me? And the world? You know, you might have as much as you want, but one day you lose it. Right? Even fads change, don't they? Even fads change, don't they? It's passing away. But even you will die one day. And then what? What happens after you die? You'll come face to face with what is real. And all the desires, lust means desires. But who remains forever? Anyone who does the will of the Father, will of God. So, love not the world, includes the desires of the flesh, of the eyes, your own pride in yourself. Take a blank piece of paper. What are some of the things you love? The first was, what kept you away from Christ in terms of what you feared? You know, it's not just something that keeps me away from Christ is what I fear. There are things I love too much that keeps me from Christ. Is that right? I get afraid of some things, embarrassed about something that keep me from Christ. But now we're looking at, what are the things that you love? That make you postpone. Okay, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. What do you love? What attracts you? What are you living for? You all know yourselves, don't you? You know you. You know what is keeping you in your affections, the things you like. There's not things like ice cream or biryani There usually is a relationship. Or an ambition. To make it rich. I don't want to suffer any more poverty. I used to think like that. I don't want to be poor. I want to be rich. That can keep me from Christ. I love it. The pride of life, that is. I want to have fun. Whatever that fun is, I love it. I want to be the center of attraction. Keeps me from Christ. You know what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20? So what I've realized, he says, after I got born again, and this is glorying in the cross, in Jesus, and his death, and getting crucified with Christ, happens after you get saved. It doesn't happen before you get saved. You get saved just by realizing, my goodness, Jesus loves me, he died for me. Wow, wonderful, he changed my life. But you don't realize, there's more to the changed life than just going to heaven, having eternal life, being saved from the wrath of God, having forgiveness. Oh, there's more. There's that whole lifelong struggle with our sinfulness, right? Glorying in the cross is being delivered from the bondage to sin, the slavery to bad habits. I glory in the cross. I get crucified to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And so the Apostle Paul is able to say in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified. I'm crucified. See, in chapter 6, he says, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. But earlier in chapter 2 of the same book of Galatians, he said, I am crucified. This is a continuous experience that has happened when Jesus died. And yet I live. I live. You know what kind of life Paul lived? The life that Jesus gives. And he gives what kind of life? Not only eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I give you abundant life. You know, when I was young and single, and I was in St. Paul's Church in the youth group, the youths who would hear me talk about Jesus because I had got saved, they would say, you know, you don't have any more fun, Chris. And they would say, you want us to get born again and not have any more fun. And I used to keep wondering, what fun are you talking about? Because I'm having great fun being a Christian. I was enjoying it. And I was seeing all my schoolmates. And then after I finished high school, I was working. But my peers had gone to college and started working. And every once in a while they would come, oh, I have a heartache. And I didn't have any heartache. I was in Christ. And even if I did have a heartache, I knew how to solve it, right? And I said, what fun are you going to miss if you know Jesus? I live the abundant life. And when I have problems in life, even as a teenager or in my early 20s, I know someone who can help me. I live I don't survive. I don't just exist. I enjoy life. Because I'm crucified with Christ, I live the better life, the real abundant life. Because it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. And He keeps me living the abundant life, which is also, you know what? The holy life. And holiness can be frightening, and it should be, but it is also very clean. Have you ever had a bath? Of course you have. Before you've had a bath, how do you feel? Oh, you know. Especially when you wake up from bed, right? You haven't got into dust and sweat, but after you wake up from bed, you might feel, oh, you had a good rest. But you feel better after a shower, right? What a clean life holiness brings. To be washed. To be clean. Because Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God. You know who Jesus is? The Apostle Paul, he adds that lovely two phrases. He loved me. He loved me. You know, Paul lived conscious of Jesus telling him, Paul, I love you. Those are the most enduring words that anyone can say to you, right? I love you. And just imagine the Creator of the universe comes to you and says, I love you. The Father's love. God says, I love you. And the Apostle Paul says, He loved me. You know how much He loved me? He gave His life for me. That's how much He loved me. I really know that. And it changes me. Love lifted me. Let's sing that chorus. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, hallelujah. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I was thinking, some of you are, and it's slowly killing all your nice feelings, you know. Get hurt again and again. Jesus loves eternally. You know, many of you use the word unconditionally. I prefer to say He loves eternally. His love never changes. His love never becomes bigger or smaller. He loves just as much as He loved me when He died for me. He loves me always. Loved me and gave Himself for me. That's our response. What's our experience? If you really glory in the cross and if you embrace the cross, nothing but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and know Him as God to worship and Master to obey and live for, I love this verse in Colossians 1:27, where the Holy Spirit records for us, God made known what? The riches of the glory of this mystery is among the Gentiles. Gentiles are all of us, because none of us have Jewish blood. We are non-Jews, non-chosen people. And the mystery is the gospel about the cross, about Jesus. What is the richness of Jesus? And the Apostle Paul says, you know, Jesus comes and lives in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Gives you hope. Asha. Asha. Not nirasha. Hope. Not hopelessness. Christ lives in me. We saw in a previous verse, the Father's love in me. Christ in me guarantees that one day, you know the glory of the cross? You will see Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus? The risen Jesus, the glorious Jesus, He will share His glory with you. And you will sit in heaven with Jesus. Can you believe that? You know, some of us feel great if we met Amitabh Bachchan. Or some great celebrity. Or we even met Rahul Gandhi. How? I tell you, if someone came to camp, this camp, and said, actually, you know, accidentally I bumped into Rahul Gandhi. We would all be looking at that person with, you know, wow, you know. You really met Rahul Gandhi? We would talk so much about, wow, wow. What does he look like? Huh? You're going to sit with Jesus. You're going to meet Him face to face. And He's in you if you believe in Him and you glory in Him now. And you surrender your life to Him now. You know, Christ comes and lives in you. And that guarantees hope one day of glory. That's your experience. So what's the conclusion of it all? What do you take back home? Don't forget the points you wrote. Fold it, keep it with you. And go and look at it again and get right with God. Glory in the cross. The Apostle Paul penned these words by the Holy Spirit. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We have a glorious Jesus. Yes? Do you have the Father's love in you? I hope so. Do you know your sins are forgiven? Because Jesus died in your place and took the punishment on your behalf. Has He made you new? Glory in the cross. In the Lord. Our Father, we bow before You. We really do, Lord. The first thing we do, Father, as we bow in Your presence, those of us who know You, is to ask that You would so help us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. That our lives will reflect a crucified life. Lord, even those of us who have experienced the cross don't live the crucified life. Lord, we ask, help us to be crucified to the world and the world to be crucified to us. Help us not to love the world or the things of the world. Help us to have your love in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then, Father, we think of our precious young men and women who still struggle. Lord, we feel so sorry as we think of their struggle, because we can't do anything, Lord, to help them surrender their life to Jesus. But you can, by your Spirit, do it, Lord. Please help each one to know Jesus, your Son, in a personal way, and to be changed permanently, so that they too can glory in the cross and be crucified to the world and the world crucified to them. So that they might be a new creation. Oh, Father, do it. Father, as we conclude this camp, help us to go back thinking through these things. And day by day, living to the praise of your glory. Glorying in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.